It's John 1, 35 through 42. The next day, John was there again with the two disciples of his. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed him, followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Who am I? That's a question. Am I important? What is my purpose? Those are questions, deep down questions, that aren't that popular because they're uncomfortable sometimes. They're not easily answered. But Jesus answers them by telling us, "Follow me." We discover our true selves, who we really are, our true identity, what's important about us and what our purpose is, by becoming a Christ follower. And that's what I've entitled this message, Becoming a Christ Follower. Self-made people aren't all that happy. It's said that Alexander the Great, you know, he wept when there were no more worlds to conquer. I mean, you know, he had such success, but he wept. Or at least that's what tradition says. But when rich people commit suicide, we hear about rich people committing suicide, or popular entertainers overdosing on drugs. They're turning to drugs for their satisfaction. It shows that fame and fortune don't bring human satisfaction. They don't. That's not our purpose. We were created to serve God. You know, that's so bottom line. It's like, we were created to be servants. Yes. We were created to be servants, to serve God and others. That's what our whole purpose has been in our creation. True happiness is to follow His purposes for our lives, and His purpose is for us to serve. I just finished, well, I'm not quite finished with it, but a blog article. I don't write blog articles very often. If there's something important, I write them. But if there's nothing important, I don't want to clutter up the internet with a bunch of blog, 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 blog. You know, blah, 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 blog. No, I want to say something important. And this is really important because people are looking for who they are, and they have to know we are servants. That's our whole purpose, why we were created. But I don't want to get into all of that. Maybe you could read the blog article later. But in today's text, we see that the first thing Jesus did in his agenda, even before miracles and preaching, was drawing disciples to himself. And he didn't have to work hard at that. You know, it's just like God was doing it in the background. But that was his priority. His priority was a direct personal relationship so that he could transfer his ministry to someone or to the people that he was working with. And those were the disciples. And you know, I'm praying at some point when my health continues to deteriorate, or maybe I'll have a new surge and I won't have to have this happen, but at some point I'm going to have to pass the baton of this ministry, and it has to be a personal passing as far as I'm concerned. I have to really personally pass the baton, not just to any hands, but to ones who are truly disciples of the Lord Jesus. So that's what Jesus' priority was, a personal transfer of his ministry and his call to discipleship at the same time. His call to discipleship answers those deep down questions about human meaning and our identity. We find our true purpose only by finding and following the truth, capital T, the truth, a person, Jesus. So we begin with this in this passage. Stick with the right people. Stick with the right people. We need to be with people like John the Baptist. Now, in verse 35, it said, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And these two disciples, or at least one of them, both of them, but especially Andrew, these are our examples in this passage, who we're supposed to be like or what we're supposed to be learning. John was somebody that they needed to be with. John was a Christ-exalting person. He had a Christ-exalting testimony. He was consistent in it, and he was persistent in it. In verse 29 and 31, the next day, this is before the passage, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." John was exalting Jesus. That was his ministry, to exalt Jesus. We need to be around people who put Jesus first. We should associate with people who put Jesus first. If they do draw others to themselves, they're pointing those others to Jesus. And we need to be around those who set Jesus forth, who set Christ forth. Their hope, like John's hope, is that Christ might be revealed. Not themselves, but that Christ might be revealed. That's how we are supposed to be. So people should be around us, you know, so that we'll be like that. Well, John was pretty odd at times. Most of the time, actually. John was an oddball. He was an oddball, outcast from society in a way. He didn't have what we would call finesse, you know. But his motives were godly. He had godly motives. You know, it's funny. The King James, I like the King James, but it has some funny ways of saying things, or at least vocabulary-wise, it's become funny. And that is, the King James calls us a peculiar people. Have you ever noticed that? There's this passage, and I think it's Peter, where we're called a peculiar people. Well, his prophetic personality lacked social finesse, but it did not lack spiritual fervor. Oh my goodness, he was totally into his ministry. He knew things imperfectly, and he knew that he knew in things imperfectly, but he was teachable. He knew he didn't know everything, so he was teachable. And we need to be around people who have a willingness to learn, a willingness to be taught. This willingness to learn attitude can rub off on us if we're around those kind of people. We associate with those kind of people. And also, good companions remind us of an essential message. In verse 36, it says, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." This was the third time that John had said that. You know, repetition is important. We need repetition. Thank God for repeating the call, because sometimes we don't follow Jesus the first time we're called, and we need repetition. So he was doing this three times. He did this, and then finally they responded. But whom shall I follow? You know, we're supposed to be around people. Whom shall I follow? Is a preoccupation that we might have. Which author to read? Which preacher to listen to on the radio or the program of TV or whatever, or what politician to support and to believe. I don't know if we should believe many of them at all. But anyway, that's my personal opinion. But John did this. He had a persistent, consistent way of pointing to Jesus. He pointed others to Christ. The right friends will do the same thing for us if we stay around them. And they point to Jesus so that we can discover our true selves. Or, at first before, maybe we need to discover what we truly want. What do we really want? At first, it may seem that we only find what others want for us. You know, in this passage itself, it says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. You know, it may start out that way, following Jesus because of a teacher, or because of a family, or because of friends. But eventually, there must be a direct interaction. There must be a direct personal interaction with Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want? What do you want?" At that time, there were many religious wants, many religious motivations that were motivating people in what they were after, what they were desiring, what they were seeking. Pharisees, they were the conservative legalists, and they wanted the old ways preserved. And then Sadducees. Sadducees were political liberals, and they wanted power and prestige. They wanted to remain in office, and they had the high places in office. Zealots. Zealots were revolutionaries, and they wanted freedom from oppression. And then there were Essenes. They were a smaller group, and not very well talked about in Scripture, but they did exist at that time, and we have records of them. They were religious cultists, and they wanted purity from a defiled society. These are the kind of motivations that still exist religiously in the world, along with many others, especially wanting a new experience. During the hippie movement, everybody wanted new experiences. Really, sometimes they were just the old experiences resuscitated. Or people are looking for financial security, or they're looking for other kinds of security. Maybe they're after popularity. They want to be in the in group. You name it. There's all kinds of things people want. But the right motivation, the motivation that is really built into the center of our hearts because of who we are as servants, is seen in this reply given by those in verse 38. And that is, they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" That's where it must begin. Teacher, the word teacher implied that they were authentic. Discipleship material. They wanted to be disciples, and their wish was to know the truth. So, teacher, I'm willing to learn. Teacher. That's their response. But where are you staying? That meant that they wanted to be where he was at. They wanted to spend more time with this teacher, more time with Jesus. Well, Christ's reply to them is really the key. It is really the key to understand all things. And so, man, that's important. The key to understanding everything, including ourselves. And that's the most important. Including understanding who we are, what our purpose is, why we're important, what we're supposed to be about in this life. And that is this, what Jesus said. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Come. And you will see. You know, this was an imperative. Come. You must do something first. You must have a choice first. You must come, and then you will see. I'm not going to let you see now and then see if you'll come. You must come, and then you will see. And you know, this is really important because we get it backwards in this life. You explain it to me, and then I'll come. You show me you prove it to me, and then I'll come. Well, Jesus didn't do that. You know, the right path to knowledge, is a right choice will lead you to to understanding. A right choice will lead you to the mind's grasp of truth. And Jesus promised this with a very special promise. It's one of my favorite things when I'm talking to somebody about the Lord who has these kind of questions, is John 7:17. It's good to memorize that address so you can go there. John 7:17. Jesus said this to those he was teaching. If anyone chooses to do God's will, you must choose first. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I'm just making this all up. I'm speaking on my own. These men made the right choice. They chose, it says in verse 39, they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. Christian discipleship, really following, becoming a Christ follower, means spending time with him, spending time with Jesus. Saying a yes to spending time, quality time with Christ, often means saying a no to other things. Maybe other people that are wanting your attention or time, and you have to say, I'm just busy right now. And what are you busy with? I'm having my quiet time. I'm having this most precious time of the day. It's the highest priority, using our time to spend with Jesus. Well, what do we really want? Do we want to be who we were meant to be? That is the question. Who are we really? And do we want to be who we really are? We find our true purpose only by finding and following the truth. The truth, the person, Jesus. And if we really, truly want to be happy, satisfied, fulfilled, then we will say yes. Yes. To Christ's discipleship call, come and see. That will have a positive, affirmative answer. Yes, I will. I'll come. I'm coming right now. Only then can we discover who we truly are. Since we were created to be disciples of the God of truth, we were supposed to be followers of the God of truth, our identity is found by letting truth define our discipleship. We must let truth define us. John was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's what it says in Isaiah, a prediction about him. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Well, what are we then? I think we're sort of in a wilderness today too. But you've probably heard this. I'm going to repeat it. It's a common thing, a phrase you've probably heard. We're the only gospel some people will ever read. We're the only gospel that some people will ever come into contact with. We're the good news to some people. And that defines our identity. Our identity is defined by new kinds of priorities. So look in verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. Like Andrew's new priority, the first thing, our first thing, is telling about the truth that we have found. We're not just telling, we can't just tell about what other people tell us. We must tell about the truth that we have found. What has been our relationship with Jesus when we've spent time with him? What has been our relationship that we can share with others? We're now messengers of the good news. And the good news is we found Eureka. We have found it. We have found the Messiah. We have found the one who is supposed to come. And then in verse 32 it says, he brought him to Jesus. True disciples know that we have to bring people. Sometimes the best we can do is in prayer. But we also know that really, only the Holy Spirit can really bring people to Jesus. That's what we know. It's like we are so dependent. So prayer must be in our witness. If we don't pray, You know, it's like maybe even a flash prayer. Lord, help me here and then. But we've got to do it because it's the Holy Spirit that brings people to Jesus. Truth must be seen as capital T, the person truth, Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life he told about himself. And he must tell us our identity. Truth, the person, Jesus, must tell us our identity. In verse 42, Jesus looked at Peter, and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." And that means Peter. Both of them are translated a rock. A rock. And it's interesting, you will be. You will be. He gave him this new name. And he, first of all, knew what his name was. You are Simon. I don't know if he even told who he was. You are Simon. Jesus knows us already on a first name basis the day we're born. He knows us. So he knows everything about us. You are the son of John. He knows our family background. He knows all of that. Jesus has that knowledge. But he also wants us to know who we are. Now, or who we will be in union with him. Union with Christ renames us. Our union with Jesus Christ renames us from sinners to saints. Don't call yourself a sinner anymore. You may sin, saints do, but saints are not sinners. They are saints. And that's what the scripture calls us now. We are saints. Jacob was called a wrestler, and then he wrestled with God, and he became a prince. And Abram was called a father, and then he trusted God and became the Abraham, father of many. You know, from Jacob to Israel, from Abram to Abraham, from Cephas, from Simon to Cephas, you will be a rock. A rock? Why? Why will you become a rock of solid faith? It's because of your relationship with Jesus. He indwells us, all of us. And that is what makes our faith solid, a rock. Jesus isn't calling just curious observers or brief tagalongs. There were tagalongs and they stopped coming, a lot of them. He calls true disciples who will follow him in kingdom living and kingdom building. That's what true disciples are about. Kingdom living and kingdom building. This is what we were created for, to be servants of God and his kingdom, his rule over everything. We find our true purpose only by finding and following the truth. And we're actually in a pretty dismal dark until we discover who we really are. Who are we really? Just knowing true things, that's not enough. We need to surrender to the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Surrendering, full surrendering, answering his call, discovering who we really are and answering his call to serve and to follow Jesus. Knowing true things isn't enough. We must know intimately the true person. In fact, we may find out how little we knew him or how little we understood ourselves until we have actually come and said, "Lord, make me your disciple," and responded to that. It's an open invitation every day. Come and see. Come and see. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to come and we want to see and we want to be the disciples you created us to be, the servants. So we ask, Lord God, for your help through the Holy Spirit to help us to come and to help us to understand who we are with Christ living within us as your servants. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.